Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
Waking up to a new sunrise, looking back from the other side. I can see now with open eyes, darkest water and deepest pain. I wouldn't trade it for anything, 'cause my brokenness brought me to you, and these wounds are a story you'll use. So I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know. Now I'm standing in confidence with the strength of your faithfulness, and I'm not who I was before. No, I don't have to fear anymore. So I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart, and I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the scars. I can see how you delivered me in your hands, in your feet. Scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart, and with my life I'll tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful. I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without
welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, we're looking in the book of Acts, chapter 18. We're going to pick it up in verse number 19. Paul is traveling with Priscilla and Aquila and Apollos, and they're traveling and they're going towards Syria. And in verse number 19, they arrive at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. He was always doing that. And I like the way they use the term reasoned with the Jews, yeah, because the Jews were very intellectual and they did concern themselves with legal matters, the law, and so they needed to be reasoned with. You couldn't go to their emotions. You had to really challenge their intellect, and so Paul is doing this at the power of the Spirit.
He's a Roman citizen, so Paul has this dual status. He's a Roman by birth, but he's also Jewish, and Paul has a love for his people. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. He's well trained. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees, and so you know we remember from last week that he's like, okay, I've washed my hand of you guys. I am going to the Jew. I'm going to the Gentiles. But then he lands at Ephesus. First place he goes is to synagogue because that's his heart. He wants his people to know that through them came the Messiah, and he wants them to hear that.
It's possible that he cut his hair and repented of saying, "I'm not going to the Jews anymore."
Great thought. Yeah,
he could have repented and said, "I'm sorry, Lord. I'm not going to give up on your people, and I'm going to keep my commitment to reach out to them. And so I'm going to go to the Jew first, like I said I'm going to do." So here he's going to repent, and he goes to the Jews. And when they ask him to spend more time with them, he declined.
Wow.
Well, that's pretty interesting thought. Yeah. I didn't think he would do that.
No.
But he declines to spend more time. But as he left, he promised, "I'll come back if it's God's will."
Yeah.
Then he went to Ephesus. So he was under a time frame.
Yeah.
This is not that he didn't want to be there, but he's under a time frame. And I'm not sure what his time frame is, but apparently he had to meet somebody in Ephesus.
Yeah, you know, he's following the path of God, and he is definitely on the move, going somewhere.
And so when he had landed in Caesarea, he went up and he greeted the church and then went down to Antioch.
That was his starting point. That's where he began his whole missionary journey, and he's on one of his missionary journey, and he's made the loop, and he's come back to where he started.
So when he went into Caesarea, which was a huge seaport, Pilate had a huge house with a swimming pool that went out into the ocean that was filled with fresh water with an aqueduct that came down from the mountains. It was just amazing, his palace that he had in Caesarea. And there was a huge theater there that would seat a whole legion, because the way the Roman soldiers were in that particular day, if you were a Roman soldier, you were authorized to have the same kind of entertainment as they had in Rome.
Wow.
And so whatever they had, whether it was bathhouses or theaters or hippodromes or whatever, you had it all there.
All
Caesarea.
Over.
And Caesarea had everything.
That was the place.
That was the place. It was absolutely gorgeous. And there was all kinds of sailing and trade and everything that came into Caesarea. So Paul comes into Caesarea, and Caesarea has to go north. He has to go all the way up north to Antioch, because Antioch is way far north.
Okay.
So he goes way far north, and he goes up there and he greets the church, because that's where he was sent out from, in Antioch.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's just an incredible story. This guy was on the move.
Yeah. That's a lot of travel.
Yeah. It's just incredible to me how God, you think about it, he's moving maybe on donkey, maybe on foot, you know, I mean, obviously he's taking boats here and there, but God is using this guy as an itinerant missionary, and wherever he's going, he is talking about Jesus and trying to get that message out that Jesus is the Savior of the world.
And after spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there.
There he goes again.
And traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia and strengthened all the disciples. So he doesn't just go and make disciples. He goes back and strengthens disciples.
Yeah.
That's a message, isn't it?
It's so cool to, you know, go back to the places that he's been and where he probably received some of his, you know, his beatings and everything, but he was willing to go back and to encourage them again and to see how they're doing in the faith.
Well, we make disciples and then sometimes we turn them loose, but we don't really go back and work with them.
Yeah.
That's what I like about Bethany's program, especially their Champions of Honor program.
Yeah.
I mean, because you have Champions of Honor Tier 1, and then you encourage them in Tier 2. You encourage them in Tier 3, in Tier 4.
And we're stopping at 4.
But what an encouragement. Yeah. For a disciple.
Yeah, that's almost 6 years for a man to come through a pretty intense time of study and dedication with another group of men to grow strong in your faith and in your walk with the Lord.
But that's what Paul was up to.
Sure.
When he went back to the next place, he took him from tier one to tier two to tier three to tier four.
Yeah.
He did Champions of Honor way back here.
He was doing it back then.
He was doing the Champion of Honor Tour.
Yeah.
This is what you call it, the Champions of Honor Tour. They're going to have you doing those pretty soon.
There you go.
So he sails, and where did we pick up that?
Verse 24, meanwhile.
There you go. Read it.
Back on the farm. No. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. Ephesus is where he left Priscilla and Aquila. And he was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures.
That's pretty amazing right there when you think about it, he has a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures because he's from Alexandria. Now, yep. If I'm not mistaken, Alexandria probably had a huge library. And yep. I think they had the Old Testament in yep. Greek. There, if
exactly.
I'm not mistaken.
Exactly.
They had a great knowledge.
I believe one of the ancient wonders of the world, I think, was the library in Alexandria,
I think so.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was a learned man, and he was very knowledgeable in the word. So that means he had did a lot of study.
Right. Yeah.
As he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John.
So what a wonderful testimony to this guy about how, you know, his life, his experience has brought him to the truth through, like you said, knowing the Old Testament. Somebody must have gone into North Africa and Alexandria and taught him the truth, but only brought it so far to the baptism of John, where John's baptism was one of repentance. Yeah.
He began to speak boldly in the synagogue when Priscilla and Aquila heard him. They invited him to their home, explained to him the way of God more adequately. So because he only knew the baptism of John, he really didn't understand the whole truth of Christ Jesus.
Yeah. We know that Jesus said, when I go, when I ascend into heaven, I'm going to send another to be with you, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. And he's not only going to be with you, but he's going to be in you and he's going to empower you. So, you know, prior to that, it was John's baptism of repentance of sins and living right and doing what you need to do. But Jesus brought a whole new dynamic, not only with baptism in water, which is John's baptism, but the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
We have to remember back then there was no New Testament.
Right.
So they were dealing with all Old Testament and then stories that were told.
Sure.
So people had told a story about John, and he was very acquainted with John the Baptist, and he knew about Jesus, but he didn't know accurately everything to know about Jesus, but he had followed the ways of John. So when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those that were there.
Yeah. It's just incredible to me that God uses Aquila and Priscilla, who had been with Paul probably a couple of years at this point, whom Paul had invested in, like you said, kind of the Champions of Honor program for this husband and wife.
Yep.
And he had left them in Ephesus, and Ephesus was a booming town as well. And they had an incredible church there. One of the letters, you know, that Paul wrote was to the church in Ephesus. And so we see some insight later on in the New Testament of how Paul wrote to that church and what they were dealing with. But here's Priscilla and Aquila, husband and wife, man and woman, who God used to speak into the heart and life of this great speaker, a tremendous speaker, Apollos, who definitely has the ability to preach and teach, but he just needed a little bit more knowledge for it to be up to speed with what exactly was going on.
And it's interesting to me that it says that Apollos, he wanted to go to Achaia.
Yeah.
I would imagine when you're around the Apostle Paul, he was going everywhere.
Yeah.
So you wanted to take a trip with him.
Yeah.
It's almost like you have somebody in the church that loves to take mission trips.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it grows on you, and you just want to go with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to go. And then, you know what's what happens? It happens at Bethany a lot because we go on missions trips, and a lot of people say, well, I'd like to do this kind of mission trip. I want to do this kind of mission trip. I want to go here. I want to go here. I want to go here. We got a lot of people that are going on mission trips, and that's what happens, I think, with people here. This is what is happening to Apollos. He says, I'm ready to do this too, Paul. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, you know, I follow Paul. I follow Apollos.
There you go.
I follow. So
they were going.
They were going and they were moving and they were doing stuff. And so the church in Corinth, which I believe is in Achaia, he gets into Achaia. He gets to know the church in Corinth where Paul had come from, where he had been. And so now Paul had been there Now Apollos was there. And so these people start saying, well, I liked Paul. Well, I like Apollos. This guy knows how to preach. Look at how he, look at what, and so, you know, it's incredible. And so I'm going to go, and it's like, listen, we're all preaching the same message here, buddy. We don't have to, you know, get too crazy.
But you're right about the fact, because in verse 28, it says, he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate,
yeah,
proving from the scriptures that Jesus is or was the Christ.
Right, yeah.
So like you say, he was a great public speaker. Yeah. He was powerful in the public. He refuted the Jews, and he revealed that Jesus truly was who he said he was.
Yeah, just amazing to have that ability back then, because I mean that was the thing. You didn't have TV to go watch. All you had was, you know, you went into the public square and you heard
and
the guys
you
that
heard
were
guy,
speaking.
Yeah. It's almost like downtown New York when they stand right on a box and
that's
preach
it
to you.
That's it.
I think we have a missionary in Europe that they call it the red box.
Yeah,
they
the
put
red
a red box
box
out and they stand on the red box in the middle of the square and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes people look at those guys like they're crazy, but like you say, that was the television of the day.
Right. That was the mode. That was the way that the word got out. And Apollos, there was something about this guy.
Well spoken.
There was a way that he spoke, that he drew the crowd, and he drew them in.
And while Apollos was in Corinth in chapter 19, Paul took a road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. So Paul's on the move.
Yeah, he's going back to Ephesus.
He's on the move.
To meet up with Aquila and Priscilla and to see how things are going.
And there he found some disciples and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Wow.
Yeah.
So he's not just preaching, he's actually helping them to grow spiritually.
Yeah. He didn't seem to spend too much time in Ephesus. He arrived there, but then he left Priscilla and Aquila, and then he comes back. He kind of circles back around. He went down into Antioch, spent some time there, met with the brothers again, but he comes back here, and he's wanting to make sure that they get the full gospel. That's what we're called, a full gospel church, and it's not just that Jesus is the Christ or Jesus is the Messiah. It's that the Holy Spirit has come, and you can be immersed in the Holy Spirit.
And so it goes on, and he says, we have not heard about this Holy Spirit. So Paul says, well, in what baptism did you receive? And he says, John's baptism. And says, John baptized with the baptism of repentance.
Yeah.
He told the people to believe in the one coming after him. That's Jesus.
Right.
On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They were about 12 men in all.
What an amazing story of how the Holy Spirit comes. And he does it differently. And throughout the chapters, throughout the book of Acts, you see it done on the day of Pentecost. You see, cloven tongues of fire coming down. You hear the wind. You hear this. You hear about Cornelius's house getting baptized in water, and then they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they get baptized. Always a different way, but God's promise is true that it's when Peter said, it's for you, it's for your children, for as many as the Lord our God shall call, they're all getting the Holy Spirit in a little different way. You know, here Paul laid his hands on them, but they still receive that baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, this is one of three places where it actually does say that they spoke in other tongues.
Right.
They spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it tells all the apostles were waiting in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit fell, and they all spoke in another tongue.
Right.
In Acts chapter 19, here we find another place that people spoke in other tongues.
Yeah.
And I think it might be Acts chapter 8 or 9 or 10. I can't think it's 10, where another place it says they actually spoke in other tongues.
Yeah.
And there's several places in the book of Acts where people noticed when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit that something happened in them, and Simon wanted to buy what happened to them. I mean, so there was physical initial evidence that people had received the Holy Spirit. They could sense it. They could see it because they spoke in tongues.
And they heard it. Yeah.
It's very clear right here, in front of you, right in Scripture. I mean, you can't get it any other better. You can't. Yeah. You know, it's just right there.
It's right there in front of you. And it's still happening today. It happened at the turn of the century, the 20th century, in the 1900s. It happened even in the 1800s. There were people. And throughout church history, once again, you can track that the baptism in the Holy Spirit with people speaking in other tongues that they weren't taught. It was not a second language that they had, but it was a language that they had not learned, but that the Spirit of God spoke through them. And so when you surrender your mind and body and spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not anything weird. It's a wonderful relationship between you as a person and the divine spirit of God dwelling within you and him speaking through you. It's a wonderful experience.
It happens at Bethany often, yeah. At the altars. And I always liken it unto a play. If you go to a high school play or something, they always have a prompter down front in case you forget your lines.
Sure.
And people begin to speak and they begin to praise the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit will give them the words to say, the utterance, we call it. Yeah. And all of a sudden, when you yield the most unruly member of your body, which James says is the tongue. If you can control the tongue, then you're a perfect person.
Yeah.
Because how many of you know the tongue puts us in a lot of trouble?
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you can yield the tongue to God and God can pour through you and give you words that come out and you speak them as they come through the Spirit, as he prompts them, then all of a sudden you feel this rushing of the Spirit from the deep part of you. It just rushes through and it comes out. And it's just a marvelous experience of power that flows through your life.
It definitely is.
And it encourages you. It happens at Bethany quite often at our altars. When people we have come, evangelists, we have many, many people filled. When pastors ask people to be filled, many people are filled. And it's still happening today. This was happening way back when.
Yeah, 2,000 years ago. It's still happening today.
Still happening today.
Because Jesus said, I don't want to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you, not only be with you, but be in you. And you will know. You will know that something's happened because you're going to understand, you're going to have a revelation knowledge, a spiritual something's going to happen, and you will know it when it happens.
So here we find the Apostle Paul very effective traveling from place to place. He has workers that are going with him that picks up on the way, and they begin to travel. And the Spirit is still moving, still causing people to be baptized in the Spirit. And we find people being called to the ministry. It's just an amazing equipping of the saints.
Beautiful.
And that's what it's all about today. We pray in Jesus' name that God would equip you to fulfill all that he has for you in your destiny as you follow him. God bless you. Have a great day.